We could not use that word. It is before the International Criminal Court, but the devastation, whatever it is called, is immense in Gaza. Fatah's dismissal of Al-Safin's description of her brother's death and use of the word genocide has sparked outrage on several platforms. The Media Accountability Project, an initiative created to fight bias in the news media and social media, addressed Fatah's response on their website, saying it dehumanizes Al-Safin's pain and experience and reinforces anti-Palestinian racism. They also demand that the CBC start adopting the term genocide or attribute it to human rights groups and international bodies that have acknowledged Israeli actions as such. For more, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO News on Spotify.
Go to the nude beach. Wave to all your friends as they swim in the sea. Let's take off our clothes, let's let the sky see us. Don't care what we got is quite enough. Yes, I feel the air, feel it blowing with.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to the Tommy John Show here on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal. And if you're new to the program, we cover everything going on in the world of sports. What a weekend we had. Man, what a weekend we had. We know who will be playing in Super Bowl 59 in 2 weeks' time. And we just had one, I don't want to call it a bad football game, just one mismatch and one championship game, and a classic AFC championship game, which we get pretty much every year now with all these great quarterbacks and great teams in the AFC. Seems like every single year, whether it's Buffalo and Kansas City this year or a few years back, whether it's Cincinnati and Kansas City, Baltimore, Kansas City, the Patriot games against the Steelers and the Ravens, it's just always been great AFC championship games. You've had the blowouts for sure, but overall it seems like the AFC championship game in the last 15 years have been tremendous. And we had an unbelievable one yesterday with controversy. Obviously, we'll get into all of it over the next hour here, as the Kansas City Chiefs are one win away from being the first team in the Super Bowl era to win three straight Super Bowls. Obviously, the Packers teams in the 60s won three consecutive championships, not Super Bowl era. So the first team ever to win three in the Super Bowl era. That's what's on the line in just under 2 weeks' time when the Kansas City Chiefs face off against the Philadelphia Eagles. That's going to be a fantastic game. We'll also give credit to Washington on an awesome year. They had the second overall pick a year ago. New coach, rookie quarterback, and they made the NFC Championship game, won two road playoff games, beat the number one seed in the NFC. That's just a remarkable year for them. So congrats to the Commanders. Congrats to Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, the new ownership group there. Just an awesome, awesome job and a great year too. And they are building something special in Washington. They have a ton of cap space coming up. Daniels is on the rookie deal. They can do some damage. People want to play with Jaden Daniels. And in the NFC, I know you have your Philadelphia, I mean, Detroit's good, but why can't Washington be back in that game next year? It's going to be another year for Jaden Daniels, probably with Cliff Kingsbury. I don't see him taking the Saints job. I could be wrong. So it's probably going to be Cliff Kingsbury again, Dan Quinn. They're going to have to address that defense, though. That they got torched in the run game. That was brutal. 7 rushing touchdowns the Eagles had. So, yeah, we're going to get into all of it over the next hour. We'll preview a bit of the Super Bowl. But we have 2 shows now. We have today and next week to preview Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. Right now, I think the line's at -2.5, -2 for the Chiefs. Makes sense. But what I'm really, really want to get at today is how close the Bills and the Chiefs are. And they really are. Let's be honest. The Bills win every year in the regular season, and then in the playoffs, it really just comes down to coaching, I think. Allen and Mahomes both played well yesterday. They both can run the ball well. They don't have superstars at the wide receiver position. It's just the Chiefs are far better defensively, I would say. The Bills had a million injuries on defense. And Andy Reid versus Sean McDermott, you're going to give Andy Reid the advantage every single time. Every single time. He was coaching circles around Sean McDermott. And I don't want to knock Sean McDermott because he's done a hell of a job in Buffalo. When he got there, they weren't expected to do anything. They've gone to several AFC championship games. They win the AFC East every year now. Since the Pats and Brady, Belichick, and those golden years, since then, since they've retired, it's been Buffalo's division. The Bills control the East. Credit to Sean McDermott for doing that. But in these big games, let's be honest, whether it was a few years ago, the 13 seconds game, squib kicking, what the hell are you doing squib kicking in that scenario? Whether it was hosting the Bengals 3 years ago, you let Zach Taylor and the Bengals, Joe Burrow, come into your house in Orchard Park and run circles around you. Whether it was last year at home, you always wanted the Chiefs and Mahomes at home. You got them at home. Couldn't do it. And just, let's be honest. This game, Sean McDermott was not at his best. Josh Allen was. James Cook was. I thought the receivers were good. I thought Shakir was good. Amari Cooper was used more. But let's be honest. The defense was not great. And Sean McDermott, if there's anything I've learned from watching the amount of football I have watched, is that early in games, take the points. Can we just take, and never, and I repeat, never take points off the board. Just don't do it. Don't take points off the board. And credit Buffalo when they were down 21-10 and that weird catch call that wasn't a catch, could have been an interception, but it hit the ground, whatever, and they called a Chiefs catch, whatever the hell that was. They punch it in. It's 21-10 Kansas City with, what, 3 minutes left in the first half, and Buffalo goes right down the field. Josh Allen, the Hollins, what a throw, what a catch. 21-16, you kick the extra point, 21-17. Oh, Chiefs are offside. And Sean McDermott says, let's go for it. Because 4th-and-1 has been really successful for the Bills in this football game. They go for 2, don't get it. And then it results the next time they score a touchdown, they go for 2, don't get it. That's 2 points. Unbelievable. There's just like, even when they score a touchdown, you can get the full momentum feel. If the Bills just kick the extra point there, which they did, they don't take the offsides penalty, just be fine with going into the half down 4. You'd be up 3 when you score again. You're going to kick the extra point again. 24-21 it would have been for the Bills. And know what that does late in the game? The Chiefs don't go for 2 to go up 7. And you're in a much better spot. And right now, you'd be sitting at 31-31. Not 32-29. 31-31. And when they took the points off the board, they didn't get it. I was like, ah, I don't know. I would not have done that. And there's no way in hell. You don't take points off the board. And I know analytics nowadays, oh, the chances from scoring from the one versus scoring from the two. I don't care. It's the AFC Championship game. And I'm not taking points off the board. If it was such a valuable point to make it three instead of four with an entire half of football left, then why didn't he go for it originally? Clearly, it wasn't that big of a point to Sean McDermott if he kicks the extra point like he did originally. But decides to go for two, doesn't get it. If they just keep that on the board, they score the touchdown with James Cook with that remarkable effort to stay up on fourth and goal. Remarkable. That makes it 24-21. The Chiefs would go down the field and score like they did. 28-24. Josh Allen to Samuel. That would have made it 31-28 Buffalo. Kansas City goes down the field goal to go up. What? In this case, it would have been 31-31. So right now, it would be 31-31. And then maybe the play calling changes. Maybe other things differ. I don't know. But all I know is if they took the two extra points, if they took the initial extra point, kept it on the board, and they just kicked the other one after the Cook touchdown, it'd be a tie ball game. So that's one thing that Sean McDermott ticked me off with. Other thing that ticked me off is he's a defensive-minded coach. And I understand that they had injuries. It's not the loaded defense that it was a few years ago with Poyer, Jadavious White, and all these guys, and Von Miller's not who he used to be. I understand that. But can you get some pressure on the quarterback? Just some? If there's one weakness for the Chiefs, if there is one, it is their offensive line. The interior's great. You have Humphrey. Usually you have Tooney at guard and other great players. But their weakness the entire year has been the tackles, the left and right tackle. They have Joe Tooney, who's a guard, and he's played guard his whole life, playing left tackle. And Houston got pressure on him. Denver in the regular season got pressure on Mahomes. Everyone. The one thing you can do is sack Mahomes. And apart from, what, two plays, I did not notice the Bills' pass rush at all. At all. And another thing, early in that game, you're clearly seeing Mahomes as a threat running the ball. What, he run the ball like 11 times? You wouldn't think to put a spy on him. When the pocket breaks down, usually he likes to move out. There is no spies. None. Mahomes ran the ball 11 times. 11. And two rushing touchdowns. We wouldn't think Sean McDermott to put a spy. Not one. And then the cherry on top, and this might be Joe Brady instead of Sean McDermott. But after a while, you think Sean McDermott can go up to the offensive coordinator and be like, hey, stop that. Are these QB sneaks or these tush pushes that aren't tush pushes? How many times on fourth and one, third and goal, well, every short down yardage situation did the Bills try and sneak it? It was every time, and it clearly was not working. Clearly. And I believe he got the first down, and I'd say 90% of the people at home think he got the first down Allen did in the huge, huge call when it's 22-21. They score there. They go up eight, probably. Or maybe they go for two, because that was so successful, to try and make a two-score game. I don't know what happens. But I know this. That play had not worked the entire game. And three or four plays before that, they did the same thing where Josh Allen just jumps over the line. He got it, but he almost fumbled. And they were lucky to recover it. So even when the play worked, they were fumbling it. And it was just a mess. An absolute mess. And the Chiefs were great on that play. Chris Jones, the interior defensive line, were getting pressure on those fourth down plays. Credit to them. But you'd think Joe Brady or Sean McDermott, after the third time it doesn't work, that, hey, maybe we can switch this play up or alter it. Or maybe have James Cook in the game. Because as great as the Chiefs' defense is, and as great as they were playing in big spots yesterday, they could not stop James Cook at all. James Cook was sensational. Sensational. That stiff arm he had out wide on that run in the second half was unbelievable. He was averaging over 6 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns, not to mention they used them successfully on rolling him out, dumping him off a screen, or just a 5 yard out into the flat. He was awesome. He caught three balls for 50 yards. James Cook was their best offensive player outside of Josh Allen yesterday, and they barely used him in big spots. He had 3 catches, and he only ran the ball 13 times. 13 times. He averaged 6 yards a carry. And the fact they didn't bring him in short yardage situations or an RPO just to get the defense thinking about James Cook, I don't know. That seemed bogus to me. And I know McDermott's not the play caller, but you think after a while he can phone up to Joe Brady and say, enough of the 4th-and-1 QB sneak, tush push, but with like Ray Davis pushing you. That's another thing. If they want to do the tush push, Allen has to get lower, and they need 2 tight ends, some people who are big and strong to push him. You don't have Ray Davis or Ty Johnson. 2 guys are barely 200 pounds trying to push him. That makes 0 sense. It wasn't a tush push. It was a QB sneak. It was not a tush push. So if you're the Buffalo Bills this morning, if you've gotten out of bed, if you're a Bills fan or whoever, you must be kicking yourself. That itch, you always play the Chiefs tough until the end in the postseason, and it always comes down to a few plays. And yes, did the refs have their best game? No. But going into the game, you knew that was going to be a bit of a factor. You knew the Chiefs get the benefit of the doubt. They've gone to, what, how many Super Bowls now? 5? They're going to get the benefit of the doubt. You're in Arrowhead. You have to be more aggressive than what the Bills were on those short yardage situations. And if you love that play call so much, why don't alter it a tad when it's not working? They did the same thing every time. It's just Josh Allen goes left. Josh Allen goes left on a QB sneak. Josh Allen goes left. Josh Allen goes left. And it wasn't working. What's the definition of insanity? Isn't it doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result? That's what the Bills' play calling was in 4th-and-short. That whole game. Didn't work on the 2-point conversion. Didn't work in another instance. Didn't work on the huge play on 4th-and-1. And the one time they got it, Allen did the goal line play where you jump over to cross the chains, but now you're not breaking the play in the end zone. That ball's live. And they were lucky to recover it. Now, the officiating, was that a problem? Yes, it was. I thought Allen got it, but it was really close. But I thought he got it, and I thought there was conclusive evidence that he had it. And Gene Steratore on the broadcast said, he probably got it. And I don't know how an organization like the National Football League, the NFL, a multi-billion dollar corporation annually, we cannot get better technology than what we have. Can we not put a sensor in the ball? Are you serious? We have the same technology that we did 20 years ago. Are you saying we cannot have a better way of judging first downs? It's crazy. Multi-billion dollar corporation. We're in the year 2025. We don't have better technology to see if someone has a first down or not. And what I don't understand is one of the line judges ran down from the top, who had the best angle, gave him the first down. And then the guy who's completely blocked by the angle says he's short. It's like the two line judges were at least 3 yards off on the spot. Oh, that was a really, really bad call. And it cost them, absolutely. But I just did not like the play calling in big spots at all. I haven't even gotten to the part where Kincaid just dropped the pass on 4th and 5. Credit Steve Spagnuolo, drew up a great blitz. The Bills did not see it coming. Allen does an awesome job just to get the ball off in that situation. But Kincaid has to drop, has to catch that. I'm sorry. And he plays for the Bills, just a cursed organization. You knew he was going to drop it. If that was the Chiefs, if that was the Eagles, that was another like blue chip organization, Kincaid catches the ball. There's just the football gods are mean. It hit his hand, his forearm, his bicep. It hit everything. He's a first-round draft pick. You got to think he's going to catch that. It was a hell of a football game. Mahomes played great. They scored 30 for the first time this year, the Chiefs did. And now they're off to the Super Bowl again. And it's really the loser in this is America and Canada and whoever watches the National Football League, because the Chiefs are unbearable, let's be honest. It's just annoying how they win. They barely squeak out. They don't hammer teams. They barely win these close football games. It's usually controversial. And then they're arrogant, too. At least, maybe because I'm a Patriots fan, I'm, you know, like, biased. But I don't remember the Patriots being this arrogant. Brady was always known as a humble, down-to-earth guy. Belichick, do your job, everything. The Chiefs are arrogant, and they let you know that they're good, too. And then they got Taylor Swift on the field, and Mahomes' annoying family. It's just like, it's getting old. It really is. And our saving grace is probably the most hated team in the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles, with just an obnoxious fan base. Obnoxious. Not all Eagles fans, but you listen to Philadelphia radio. If you listen to SiriusXM, like on all the sports channels, the Eagles fans that call in, nothing's ever good enough. And just an organization I've never really warmed up to in the Philadelphia Eagles. There are saving grace. There are our hope that the Chiefs don't win the Super Bowl. The Philadelphia Eagles. So even if they win the Super Bowl, the Eagles, I won't be truly fulfilled. It's literally a lose-lose situation for me and most football fans. Because no one, unless you live in Kansas City or have grown up a Chiefs fan, is really rooting for Kansas City. And no one really likes the Eagles. There's no like impartial fan who's like, oh yeah, I like the Eagles. No. Their fans are obnoxious. It's an all-star team. Well, what's the... And even the one likable character, Jason Kelce, is not on the team anymore. I guess the saving grace is the Saquon story, where he want to be a Giant, want to stay in New York. The Giants are like, yeah, we're going to go our different ways. We want to pay a running back. And he's put up maybe the greatest running back season of all time. And he's a good guy. So and maybe that's a good storyline, and that's enough for people to be like, yes, go Eagles. But this is not a great, like, it's, they're two great teams, very talented, it's going to be a close game. But there's no really enjoyable storyline. Sure, the Chiefs winning 3 in a row is historic. And the Eagles winning is a great redemption story. They lost 2 years ago against the Chiefs, now get another chance. But 95% of football fans are just thinking this is a brutal outcome. They showed a little graphic yesterday on who's cheering for who in the championship games. And all of America is cheering for Washington and the little green in Pennsylvania, maybe a bit in New Jersey, cheering for the Eagles. And then they flipped it for the AFC game and the entire country's rooting for Buffalo, except for that little red dot in Kansas and Missouri that are cheering for the Chiefs. And it's the opposite of what everyone wanted. Washington, a great story, rookie quarterback. Schneider's not the owner anymore. They're likable. Buffalo has never got anything good happen to them ever in football. Just nothing. Heartbreak. Four straight Super Bowls, all losses. They play the Chiefs tough every time and lose in new and dramatic and heartbreaking ways. Everyone's rooting for the Bills. Everyone. Unless you're a Swiftie. Even some of my family members are Swifties. They were rooting for the Bills. So it's literally if you're a Chiefs fan and live in the Kansas City metropolitan area, everyone else was rooting for the Bills pretty much. Everyone. And that happens. I thought Allen was terrific. James Cook was sensational, and why they didn't use him more, I don't know. But we were stuck with the Chiefs again, the Eagles again, in a Super Bowl, which will be a great game, but no one wants this. No one. No one. Eagles, Chiefs. The two most unlikable teams in 2025. And the reason why I think more people will root for the Eagles is because of the Saquon story. That's it. There was no Saquon Barkley. It would be literally people are watching for the halftime show. I'm joking. People are going to watch the game. Of course, it's a Super Bowl. But it's not a enjoyable matchup, at least for me. And the people I've spoken to are in the same boat as me. I have a bunch of Giants fans who hate the Chiefs and think this is the worst thing that's ever happened to them. It's got, like, if it wasn't bad enough for the Giants, this happens. Saquon goes to the new team, which is your arch rival, and they go to the Super Bowl, and you kind of have to root for them because you don't want Mahomes and the Chiefs to win three straight. It's literally the worst case scenario. Now, what's going to happen in the game? I don't know. You look on paper, talent-wise, the Eagles are far more talented. They have a better offensive line. They have the best running back in the sport. They got two elite wide receivers in Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown. Dallas Goedert's a stud. That defense, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Zach Bond, Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Darius Slay, Vic Fangio as the defensive coordinator, Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. Jalen Hurts played well, finally, yesterday. So you look at the paper, it's a mismatch. But the great equalizer in sports, like I've been saying on this show for months now, is the quarterback and the head coach. And Andy Reid versus Nick Sirianni is not a debate. And Patrick Mahomes versus Jalen Hurts is not a debate. The Chiefs' defense is the stronger unit on the football team. I understand that. But if that Eagles offensive line can move some people. And the Bills have a good offensive line too, and James Cook saw what he can do. Saquon Barkley could do more. And you know Spags and the whole defensive unit are game planning probably today. And if not today, they're starting tomorrow on how to stop Saquon Barkley. How many guys they're going to put in the box. How are we going to attack the offensive line? The center's banged up. Maybe we can take advantage there. So the Chiefs are going to try and limit Saquon Barkley. But let's be honest. The Rams did a decent job 2 weeks ago. And the Commanders did an okay job at stopping Saquon Barkley. But he rips 60-yard runs once in a while. You look at the Rams game. If you didn't watch the Rams-Eagles game a few weeks ago, you would think, oh my God, Saquon Barkley is unbelievable. Which he did. He was. But he really only had the two runs. He had the crazy run to start the game on the second drive. Went 60 yards. And then the end of the game, to go up two scores, he broke the one there. And that was, 80 yards? And six. That's like over half his yardage on two carries. And then I thought the Rams did a decent job. Some parts of the game yesterday, I thought Washington did a decent job. But he broke the first run. Broke another run. He had three touchdowns. He's just so hard to stop every single time. There might be a quarter where you're nullifying him. You get three and outs. Here we go. And that might be enough. But you know Barkley's going to break one. Just one. He gets a good block. He gets an inch of separation, and he's gone. Now, the one thing the Chiefs are going to have to rely on is the offense a bit, too. But they've got their hands full because Philadelphia's defense is miles better than Buffalo's. Miles. I cannot believe how bad Buffalo's defense is. I know they're banged up. They got backups in the secondary. And that number five, I'm forgetting his name, was getting cooked for Buffalo all game long. And if you're the Bills in the offseason, do not spend a draft pick or a dime of money on the offense. Invest it on that defense. Please, for the love of God. The Chiefs are facing a new animal in that defense. And I don't know who I'm going to pick yet. I have to look into it. But to think the Chiefs are going to just dominate that defense like they did to the Bills yesterday, I don't know. I really don't know. Jalen Carter's a menace. And the Eagles are going to get pressure on the outside. The one thing that scares me is Zach Ertz had a decent game yesterday. Just don't let Kelce do that to you if you're Philadelphia. Don't. To me, it's a very, very even matchup. On paper, the Eagles have just an infinite amount more talent. Just miles better on the talent side than the Chiefs. But at the two most important parts of an organization, head coach, quarterback, it's not even close. It's the Chiefs. Mahomes and Reed, well, they're the second best quarterback coach of all time, maybe third. Was it Walsh, Montana, Brady, Belichick, Reed, and Mahomes? That's the class they're in now. They've been the five Super Bowls, looking for a fourth, first ever three-peat. They're right there. And Nick Sirianni, as great as a players, coaches he is, I don't know how great of a schemer and in-game adjustments he is. I don't know how good he is at that. And Jalen Hurts, he played much better than I thought he would yesterday. But let's be honest, it is a run-first team. And if there's any weakness on this Chiefs defense, if the Bills had any kind of success besides Josh Allen being Superman, it was James Cook running the ball. So you like to think Saquon Barkley can do the same if you're the Eagles. You're pretty confident that he can get you over 100 yards, over 120 yards, over 130 yards. It's a great matchup for the game. But the franchises itself and the football fans watching at home who are neutral and don't care and want some kind of a rooting interest in the game, it is the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario. Eagles, Chiefs. If you were to tell me beginning of the year, what's one Super Bowl you do not want, I would have said number one, Eagles, Chiefs. I just don't want it. I've seen it before. The Chiefs fans are insufferable. The referees, Eagles fans are insufferable. It's just the Super Bowl no one wanted, especially me. Eagles, Chiefs. I would have taken Chiefs 49ers over Eagles, Chiefs. Ideally, the Chiefs weren't in the Super Bowl at all. Ideally, Buffalo, Philly, I can live with it because I can really root for the Bills. Washington, Kansas City, I'll root for Washington all day. The likable story with Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, who everyone wrote off after that Super Bowl all those years ago, gets a new job, has turned the team around. Such a likable story. Instead, we're left with the two most insufferable teams in the NFL. The two most. I'm going to say it again. If it wasn't for Saquon Barkley and that storyline, I don't know who I would root for. I really don't. I'm slightly rooting for the Eagles because I just want that Saquon Barkley story to be the greatest story ever, where the Giants kick him out the door, doing hard knocks while they're doing it. Basically saying, oh, who's going to pay him a premium to be a running back in the league? Eh. And he goes on and single-handedly leads the Eagles to a Super Bowl. That storyline alone is making me root for the Eagles. But if that storyline did not exist, it would be a Can the game end in a tie? Can the game just not happen at all? Can they postpone the Super Bowl indefinitely? That's where I'm at. Crazy. We're going to do a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the championship games yesterday and how dominant that Eagles run game was. And also, people might forget because it happened on Friday and so much has happened since then. We had a monster blockbuster deal in the NHL involving a Stanley Cup champion, top 10 player in the world in Mikko Rantanen heading out east. So we'll get into that this hour as well. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Back after this quick word from our sponsors.
The Fuck Off Festival is back in Quebec City from February 14th to the 22nd for its 11th edition. This grand celebration of emerging and alternative music will make the city come alive with over 100 artists. Come and discover exciting new music, including performances by You Do Right, Kaya Hoax, Marie Celeste, and Chung. Full details at fuckoff.com. That is PHOQUEOFF.com.
Join us every Tuesday night at midnight on CJLO for Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd. I'm Craig Bailey, your host for an hour of music from the dark side of the moon, an hour of Pink Floyd. It's Floydian Slip every Tuesday night at midnight, right here on 1690 AM CJLO. Learn more at FloydianSlip.com.
Don't matter, just don't curse.
Yo, fellas, y'all ready to do this?
Yeah, yo, what's up, guys?
What's up, boys? Boys, in effect, yeah, and it's about time. Yo, let's rip this up.
Boys, the man.
Back here in Tommy John Show. Man, that I'll be playing that song on loop for the next 2 weeks. Just trying to get me amped, trying to get in a Philadelphia sports moon, which as a Boston sports fan is just the worst. Philadelphia, like, ugh. I'm sure it's a great town. I've never been. Would like to see a sporting game there just because it's like Boston, like Chicago. It's a great sports town. Bad weather in the winter. Just love their sports. Obsessed. Like, it's crazy how obsessed they are. Like, you'll get calls about the Eagles in July because there's a report that, like, Jalen Hurts is on a beach somewhere with his girlfriend. Be like, oh, you should be focusing on the playbook. Like, that's how crazy it is. Yeah, I'm hearing Jalen Hurts is on a beach somewhere in the offseason. He's not studying the playbook. Okay. It's, like, that intense in Philadelphia. That intense. And the world's hope is that they become Super Bowl champions once again. And I wonder who Jason Kelce is going to root for in that game. Your brother is on the Chiefs. You're not playing anymore. He's probably leaning Kansas City. But he is a diehard Eagle, played there forever, knows the entire coaching staff. All of his teammates are there. Not to mention his wife's from Philadelphia. He lives in Philadelphia. He bleeds green and silver. So that's going to be a very interesting game for Jason Kelce. Who's he sit with? What does he do? Who does he root for? Is he going to have the jersey split down halfway? I'd like to think he'll root for the Chiefs just because of Travis. But hey, here we are. Eagles Chiefs, 2 weeks' time for the Super Bowl. It's going to be a great game. But go Birds. I can't believe I'm saying that. I cannot believe I'm saying that. And I respect the Chiefs. I respect what they've done. I'm a huge Andy Reid fan. But I just wanted something different. And it's funny coming from a Patriots fan where we were there every year. But at least we played new teams. God. Like, we played Carolina. We played the Rams. We played the Eagles. We played the Giants. We played the Falcons. We played the Seahawks. There was you know, some versatility. There were some options. It wasn't just the same teams all the damn time. Think about the Chiefs. They've played the Niners twice. They've played the Eagles twice. And they played Tampa Bay and lost. But if the Chiefs win this game, Mahomes would only beaten two teams in a Super Bowl. Would have beaten the Niners twice, beat the Eagles twice. Brady is just a friend of the Patriots. At least we brought other teams into the mix. Or other teams tried to beat us. The NFC, we can't get any other teams in there. We couldn't get Detroit in there, really. The Rams, really. Like, we couldn't get another team in there to try them. Oh, it's just the Eagles and the 49ers. That's all we've got since Brady's retired. Okay. Fair enough. Here we are again. And the Chiefs are opening as a favorite. And I think that Vegas just saying we're not going to get burnt again. They were underdogs last year against the Niners. I think they were underdogs when they played the Eagles last time. They must have been favorites when they played the Niners the first time. Must have been when they played Garoppolo. But the last two Super Bowls, I believe they've been underdogs. I remember that opened at like -3 for San Francisco last year. And I'd like to believe with that Eagles team and the fashion they won those playoff games, and Mahomes, remember, had the high ankle sprain. I'd like to think they were a favorite in that Super Bowl. The first time. Was it Super Bowl 55 or something like that? 56? I'm trying to remember exactly. It might have been 56. Yeah, the Eagles are favored by 1.5. So there you go. So the last two Super Bowls the Chiefs have been in, they've been underdogs. And I believe this is, yep, last year, 49ers by 2.5. And this is just Vegas saying, not again. We're not letting the Chiefs be underdogs in the Super Bowl again. We're not going to do it. They're favored by 1.5, but it's just kind of like, this is just the Chiefs have been here so many damn times, we'll make them the favorites. Because the matchup itself, on paper, if the Eagles are the better team, should win the game. But like we said, for the 100th time, the two biggest areas is head coach and quarterback, and that is such a huge advantage for the Chiefs. And their defense is stout. Now, you look at the Eagles, they don't have a weakness. The weakness maybe is the head coach and the quarterback. If we're really nitpicking, it ain't the offensive line, it's not the wide receivers, it's not the tight ends, it's definitely not the running back, and it ain't the defense. So that leaves you with the head coach and quarterback. The two coordinators are great. Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio, two of the best. So really, the weak link is, if we had to pick on the Eagles, is the quarterback and possibly the head coach making in-game adjustments. That's why your line's -1.5 Kansas City. I mentioned that we would talk about the NFC Championship game. And listen, Washington played great all year long. Rookie quarterback. They won, 14 games technically? They won 12 in the regular season, 2 in the postseason. Just a fantastic year. And I thought Daniels played pretty well. I thought he did. His teammates really let him down. That fumble by Brown on the second drive of the game. That first drive was remarkable. They took half the quarter off the clock. 18 plays, 17 plays, whatever it was. They were picking up fourth downs. They were being the Commanders we've seen all year. Aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. And then I don't hate taking the points. I just said earlier how you take the points early in games. But it kind of surprised me because that's not what Dan Quinn does. And that's not what the Commanders do. But anyway, they killed half the quarter. You're up 3-0, and you kick the ball away to Philadelphia, and Saquon Barkley breaks one on the first play. Then, credit, you start moving the ball again, and then that Brown fumble resulted in 7 points the other way. A huge play no one's talking about is how Philly went for a tush push to go for two after an offside. They don't get it, so it was only 20-12. And what's his name? McNichols runs the kick, and he fumbles it. Gets ran into, fumbles it, Eagles recover, score another touchdown. I think it was A.J. Brown. There's another 7. So then instead of Jaden Daniels getting the ball with, 3 minutes left, down 8, he ends up getting the ball back down, 15? Like, that's a disaster. And credit him on that drive, let him down the field. They kicked the field goal, and they weren't dead yet. They were in the game early, 3-0. Then they get the Terry McLaurin touchdown. I don't know why they went for two there. You just kick the extra point. It's 14-13 in the second quarter. Like, just kick the extra point. I wouldn't have went for two there. And then he had the great drive at the end of the half to get the field goal. And then the amount of times they were going to fumble, it was ridiculous. Was it four? They had four turnovers? The last one, Mitchell intercepting him. He just has to take a shot to the end zone there. But this, then the other fumble, was it Eckler? They dump it to Eckler. He falls down. He gets back up. He fumbles it. Like, what are we doing? Every time Washington had a chance in the game and Daniels made the right decision, a teammate would just mess it up. Brown, Eckler, like, those are bad fumbles. McNichols on the kickoff. So credit Washington. It's a successful year for them for sure. No one, and I repeat, no one had the Commanders beginning of the year making the NFC Championship game. No one. But they have a lot to look forward to. Star young quarterback, a ton of cap space, good head coach. The defense, they're probably going to invest in that. If there's two teams next year that could really make a huge jump, it's like a Washington jump, is like the Patriots, maybe the Bears. But like a jump for them would be like making the postseason. You know, when you're looking at a young team with a young quarterback, good coach, good offseason, you don't think now they're going to win the Super Bowl. Washington were a game away. They just dropped a new quarterback, a new coach, patched together the offensive line. Here we go. We have one star receiver in Terry McLaurin, Zach Ertz, and a decent run game. And they made the NFC Championship game. So I don't want people to just get it. Like, the reason I'm bringing up those teams is like, this is an unrealistic expectation for those teams next year. Like the Bears, like the Patriots. Will they be better? Absolutely. You bring in good coaches, you have a bunch of cap space, you have young star quarterbacks, going to invest in the team. But the reason I'm mentioning this is don't think you're going to be Washington. Washington got lucky against Tampa Bay. Let's be honest. The several fumbles in that game. Several mishaps by Tampa Bay. They win that one. What are the odds a number one seed's going to give up like 50 points and have every player injured? Like, you need a lot to go right. And I'm listening to Boston radio and Chicago radio like, oh, maybe the Bears, maybe the Patriots can do this next year. No, let's just pump the brakes. This was a very special run. A lot of things had to go right to get there. And you're going to have good teams, but like, let's not making the Super Bowl or a championship game. It's like you need some things to go your way. So like, yes, can we be optimistic? Yes, you can. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. If you're a Bears fan, if you're a Patriots fan, if you're whoever, a Jags fan, when you get Liam Cohen, like it takes time. Denver's very happy with their year. They made the postseason, got blown out, but they found a good young quarterback, and away we go. If they got some good breaks, they could have been in this situation. All I'm saying is what Washington had is the blueprint for all teams. You get a young quarterback, surround him, hire a good coach, and away you go. But don't act like this is the norm. This is a very, very special situation that happened in Washington. Had a rookie quarterback play at a top five level with zero nerves and got several lucky breaks and ran into a number one seed who just were depleted on the defensive side of the ball. That's not going to happen every year. And will Washington, it's no guarantee Washington get back here. Do I think they have a good chance? Absolutely. They should be extremely ecstatic. And also, Jaden Daniels has gained this playoff experience. He knows he can go on the road and win playoff games. So it's very valuable for him. They're going to invest in the team, which I like. But don't act like this is an every year thing. Oh, C.J. Stroud last year. It's a select situations, select moments when this happens. I'm trying. This is just for me saying, Tommy, don't get ahead of yourself. Just because you invest in the team, invest, doesn't mean it's going to happen. Let's just do baby steps. Make the playoffs. And then who knows? But credit Washington. What a year. And just because they got their doors blown off, which was a fear of mine, doesn't mean it was a bad year. You made the NFC Championship game and you won four games a year ago. Heck of a turnaround. And now you look at that division for years to come. Dallas is trending in the wrong direction. I don't know what the hell's going for the Giants. Eagles-Washington's going to be the matchup we all look forward to. It used to be Eagles-Cowboys. Now it's Eagles-Commanders. This could be a three-year event every year. Daniels is going to make the playoffs next year for likely. The Eagles are a win away from a Super Bowl. This is going to be a fun little rivalry. And the NFC needs it. The AFC, we have so many quarterback battles. Burrow and Allen. Allen and Mahomes. Mahomes and Burrow. Lamar and Burrow. Lamar and Mahomes. Lamar and Allen. You add Stroud to the mix. Now Bo Nix is here. Justin Herbert. Drake May. All these young quarterbacks are entering. And Trevor Lawrence. There's just so many elite young talent at the quarterback position in the AFC. And the NFC needed one. Just to give the conference some juice. Jaden Daniels to Washington, it was perfect. And if Caleb Williams blossoms, then you have Hurts, Daniels, Caleb Williams, Jared Goff, Jordan Love. You still got Stafford. Having an elite quarterback like that enter the NFC was the best case scenario for the NFL. You can't have all the young talent go to the AFC. It's good that they have Jaden Daniels in the NFC. Because if he's in the AFC, it would just get out of hand. Get out of hand. We're going to take one final break, and when we come back, we'll talk about that monster Mikko Rantanen trade that happened over the weekend and why Colorado ultimately dealt the Finnish superstar. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Tavern Tour is back from February 6th to 8th. With more than 80 artists, the tour will blast through the bars and venues of Boulevard Mont Royal, Saint Laurent, and Saint Denis. Make sure to check out artists such as The Gorys, Billy Woods, The Sadies, Wombo, We Are Wolves, La Securité, Croy, Pax, Chandra, Charlotte Cornfield, Ralph Francis, Ada Lee, The Drin, Kaya Hoax, Alex Walton, Pryors, Gus Engelhorn, and many more. Check out taverntour.ca to get a look through the whole lineup and get your tickets online. Presentation from La Caisse des Jardins du Plateau Montréal.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
All right, gang, let's really nail it this time. Here we go.
And have the iconic sounds of cinema?
Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday from 8 to 9 a.m.
Only on CJLO 1690 a.m. in Montreal with your hosts Remy
and Danny.
This is how we do it. Da, 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 da. Hey, I never asked you.
Yeah.
You like guacamole? Ah! Run! Oh, God! Run!
Pour me another drink. Cause I don't wanna feel a thing no more, hell no. I just wanna sip it till the pain wears off. Pour me another round.
Hi, Karen and Tommy John Show for the final 5 minutes of the hour. So, great games over the weekend in the NFL. We have our Super Bowl matchup, which we will spend majority of the show next week talking about, as it's an NFL. It's the NFL world, and we're just living in it. So we're going to preview the Super Bowl next hour. But I quickly want to touch on that Rantanen trade and the NHL right now. So, did I expect Mikko Rantanen to get traded? No, I didn't. I thought both Colorado and him would come to an agreement. He's too good of a player. Him and McKinnon are one of the great duos in the league. But they realize, you know what, we're gonna trade you because we can't pay you 12.5, pay McKinnon already 12.5, Makar, what, 9, 10 million bucks. which is really an underpay for Cale Makar. It's just they want to build a championship team, and they know if they have three guys making a ton of the cap, it's going to be hard to do. So they get Nikus, who's a very, very good player. I always liked him in Carolina. They need he's just an underrated player, and I believe he has a bunch of term left on his deal, if I'm not mistaken. But he's a tremendous player, and they're gonna have an interesting situation going on, because Nikus, as good as he is, he's not gonna demand the same money that Rantanen's going to demand. So it wouldn't surprise me if they ink him long-term. Whether it's $8-9 million, you still take that over $13 million that Rantanen wanted. And listen, the Blackhawks retaining some of the salary, just wanted a draft pick. Carolina, it's going to be interesting, because if you give up Nikus, you give up Drury, you give up draft picks, you like to think an extension's coming. Like, I would be stunned if Carolina doesn't try to get an extension done rather soon to Mikko Rantanen. It doesn't make sense at all to give up Nikus and Drury and picks for a rental for 4 months. I'd like to believe a deal's coming. But I want to know is, the real question I think everyone wants to know is, how far apart were Colorado and Rantanen? Was Rantanen asking for $14 million a year? That cap's going up, that's giving me $14 million. And we're Colorado around 11. That's what I'm trying to think. There's no way in hell they're offering him more than MacKinnon. I just cannot see that happening. MacKinnon took 12.6 when he could have gotten 13.5, maybe $14 million. Took 12.6. They weren't going to give Rantanen over that. And Rantanen, let's be honest, the production, he's a he could ask for and justify being paid at $13 million if he continues his production. But credit Colorado, as tough as the decision was, they got a pretty darn good return for a guy on an expiring deal. And they'll probably lock up Nikus on a better contract. And he had 2 assists last night. He's just a very solid NHL player. But if we quickly look at the standings in the Atlantic, look at this. You have the Torontos and Floridas of the world. But after that, you got Ottawa, Boston, Tampa Bay with games in hand. Montreal, Columbus, all these teams just lumped together for those wildcard spots. So I cannot wait for this week in the NHL. There's some big, big games. Montreal has huge games coming up. They got Winnipeg. They got Minnesota. They have another big game on the weekend, I think, against Anaheim. They should win that one out west. So there's just huge matchups going on in the NHL. And we're past the halfway point with the Four Nations break coming up. The teams have to make a push now. They have to. So really interesting situation going on in the NHL. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next Monday where we will preview Super Bowl 59 between the Eagles and Chiefs, and I'll give you my picks for the big game. I'm Tommy Lane. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
You're listening to CJ.